This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you for tuning in today on this beautiful Monday afternoon. And as you could probably guess, it's going to be a big day for calls. 844-500-4242, because I just have to find out if people are as flummoxed by this Inflation Reduction Act as I am. I mean, I know we've been talking about it for a few weeks, and the Democrats have been teasing it, and Republicans have been railing against it, but it really is counterintuitive, one would think, to spend billions of dollars on an Inflation Reduction Act. It's almost an oxymoron when you think of it. And so as I go through this, and there's a lot of different elements to break down, I welcome you to call in and to vent with me. The number is 844-500-4242. I should mention right off the bat that it's no longer the Inflation Reduction Act. I know here at the Grace Curley Show, we like to call it the Inflation Production Act. But Stephen Miller noticed something that was happening over the weekend when this was passed. He started compiling some of the headlines. An Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, was nowhere to be found. It was nowhere to be seen. Instead, there were headlines like this from CBS News. Senate passes Democrats' sweeping climate health and tax bill.
Blah, 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 blah.
CNN, Senate passes Democrats' sweeping health care and climate bill. The Guardian, Senate passes $739 billion health care and climate bill after months of wrangling. I love the use of the word sweeping. How sweeping, you ask? Well, $739 billion worth of sweeping. That's a lot of sweeping. And turns out I'm not a big fan of the sweeping bills. Anytime I see that word, sweeping, I grimace a little bit. I shudder to think about all of the pork that's going to be swept up in this monstrosity of a bill. And so let's talk a little bit about the pork. You're probably worried about it. Last time we reported on a bill this big, I think we started talking about gender studies in Pakistan. So naturally, people are a little skeptical. But I want you to know that you have nothing to fear. Sure, there is going to be a bunch of spending, pointless spending on trying to stop cow farts and cow burps and all that good stuff. But rest assured that a slice of this pork pie is going to the hiring of 87,000 new IRS agents. Celebrate good times, come on. What's not to love about this? Does this not make you happy? Are you not entertained? This is great news. This is great news. As Democrat Senator Ben Cardin pointed out, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about. If you haven't done anything wrong, then what's the big deal? I think the same thing goes for the Patriot Act. If you're not a terrorist, then you shouldn't care if the government's spying on you. If you didn't do anything wrong, like Donald Trump claimed he didn't, then you should have no problem with people, you know, knocking on your door. And before you start telling me, oh, Grace, you know, well, look what happens when you give all of this power to the FBI. Look how the CIA, look how they weaponize this power. Look how the DOJ makes things political. Let me inform you of something. Let me drop some knowledge on you, okay? The IRS is not like these other hyper-political partisan government agencies, okay? Just ask the Tea Party. They are above board. They do not allow the whims of the party in power to decide who they're going to bug, who they're going to audit. Okay? These people are not like the others. Everything is on the level with the IRS. You all know that. I don't have to tell you that.
Or else Shoeless Joe Jackson, when they told him, oh, no, Joe, they're just trying to get the gamblers out of baseball, not the ball players.
You have nothing to worry about.
For life.
Do you notice that's like a common theme with Democrats? They're always telling us, you have nothing to worry about. Why are you upset? None of this is going to affect you until it does. In which case, we've totally renamed the bill and we've totally changed what the purpose and the goal of the bill was. Now the purpose, at first the purpose was inflation reduction. And we all said, that's ridiculous. That's never going to work. And so as soon as they have the votes, because it passed in the Senate, it will pass in the House. As soon as they have the votes, they say, it's a climate bill. It's for climate. And you know what that means? That means when inflation inevitably increases and gets worse, and we turn around and say, wait, so does that mean, excuse me, Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, Chucky Schumer, does that mean that you were wrong about the Inflation Reduction Act? They can say, what are you even referring to? Inflation reduction? Oh, the climate, the sweeping historic climate bill we passed to buy a bunch of solar panels and give you tax incentives for EVs, that? Oh, no, that inflation, that had nothing to do with it. It was always about green. It was always about the Green New Deal. All right? And so now they're celebrating this huge win. This historic is a big word today. Sweeping is a big word. Historic is a big word. And another thing I keep saying is Biden's on a roll. This is a new path. This is a shift in the algorithm. Things are, everything's coming up, Biden, dun, dun. I mean, his approval rating and stuff is still in the toilet. None of that's changing. But the media likes to kind of put this into the dialogue. Like, what's that word that people like to use, Jared?
The zeitgeist?
No, it's when you want something to happen, so you manifesting. It's manifesting this into the zeitgeist, where it's like, oh, everything's turning around for Joe Biden, and they're hoping that if they say it enough, they'll convince everyone, and then things will turn around. And so they're taking this big victory lap, and yet they do acknowledge, like when you look at Jonathan Carl, when you look at Chuck Todd, they're a little confused, they're perplexed, because on one hand, Biden's on a roll. Biden's on a roll. A lot of singing this morning. It's all just coming to me. Biden's on a roll. But on the other hand, Americans, like the three squares a meal, the credulous boomer rubes, people like me who can't point out things on a map, we all seem disgruntled still. We're disgruntled. And they're trying to make us gruntled. And they're hoping that Biden, with all these historic wins and being on a roll, would gruntle us. And yet here we are, continually disgruntled.
I like the term boothers. We should start calling ourselves boothers.
Boothers. Credulous boother rubes. Yeah, because we like to sit in the booth at a restaurant and Joe Biden comes over and says, hey, can I explain the supply chain crisis to you? And then he realizes you're having a dish of ice cream and everything goes downhill. He just plants his face into it in the middle of the table. But this is really what is happening now, is that they can't figure out why we're still unhappy. They're trying to, Jared. I would love to say like they know deep down and they're just putting on this show. No, they have their serious people glasses on and their serious ties and they're sitting at their serious desks on their serious panels and they can't figure this out. It's beyond them. They can't grasp it. They're asking Chris Christie, of all people, why aren't people happy? He's passing this bill for billions of dollars worth of solar panels, and people still aren't happy. So now we'll get Joe Biden, the aviators, you know, taking his victory lap. And one thing I have to mention here, I'm spending the whole first hour on this, 844-500-4242, but one thing I do have to mention, and we're going to get into the nitty gritty. I particularly liked NPR's breakdown of what's in the bill. They had a nonpartisan climate policy think tank break down what's in the bill. I repeat, Jared, a nonpartisan climate think tank
That doesn't seem like a real thing.
That is almost more of an oxymoron than the Inflation Reduction Act, a nonpartisan climate think tank. Why do I feel like you guys might have some skin in the game here? Just a thought. But I don't know if people noticed this. Joe Biden yesterday, he must have got a negative test. So he immediately walks out of the White House to go to Rehoboth Beach, to go to Delaware, to go to the beach on a Sunday. He's leaving for, I'm guessing he's leaving for the week, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they're actually there. I guess they're on their way to Kentucky now. I saw something that.
So it was like a one night type deal?
Well, those secret meetings with his rulers aren't going to take care of themselves, Grace.
He was so.
It was an emergency meeting of the Legion of Doom.
He was so excited to be out of the White House, to be walking to the helicopter, to go to the beach. And I did notice that he's a little less cocky now about his negative test. Remember the last time when he was, you know, well, when I got COVID, it's different than Evil Orange Man. He had to go to Walter Reed. Look at me. I'll challenge you to a push-up contest right now. Push-ups. And now he comes out and he's not bragging about it. He's taking the high road this time.
He's going to test positive again in a couple days. You got to save face.
Well, you're kind of testing fate a little bit, you know, when you get out there and you don't just say, oh, well, this is nice. I tested negative. I'm glad to make a recovery. This is the classy, you know, the classy, compassionate, humane guy. Rather than come out and say, feeling a lot better. I'm glad I'm feeling better. That's wonderful. He got a negative test and came out and said, how you like that, Donald Trump? He's like a Mandelbaum. Hey, fight me. And everyone's like, wait, what? What is he? Oh, what's he bragging about now? Did inflation go down? No, he's actually bragging about the fact that he tested negative for COVID. Oh, got it. And then 20 minutes later, Biden tests positive for COVID. Well, that didn't age well. Maybe we should have just, you know, been a little bit classier about it. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's going into this bill, $369 billion for climate and energy programs. Don't have a ton of specifics for you. But what I can assure you is there's going to be a lot of nieces and nephews and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and uncles of senators and congresspeople who are going to have great new green jobs thanks to this bill. This bill that is being passed is going to pay for so many salaries for so many of the best and brightest to work in our government. And isn't that swell? 844-500-4242. A lot to get to today. I'm riled up. I hope you are too. We'll be right back with all of your calls on the inflation, on the sweeping Inflation Reduction Act. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Look, I'm not
trying. Start the afternoon up right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
Let's talk about this sweeping bill. Let's talk about this historic bill. Because I want to let you know just what you're getting. It's easy to think, billions and billions of dollars. I feel like some of this is going to go to waste. Well, you wouldn't be too far off. And I'm going to start with a piece from Politico. You're welcome to join in on the conversation. The number is 844-500-4242. But what caught my eye most from this Politico article, first of all, was when they said that they talked to a nonpartisan energy and climate policy think tank. I'm sure there's a lot of people on both sides.
That is false.
You think the people at this think tank are more independent thinkers, or do you think there's a nice mix of Republican and Democrat? Or they just are above the fray?
I'm sure they're a good roster of Republicans in the mold of Bill Mueller and Bill Kristol.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Rubin. Those good standing Republicans.
Well, I'm sure that the political makeup of this group is similar to that of the FBI, where no one has any political affiliations. You know, people just rise above. All right, so the bill will dramatically remake parts of the U.S. economy. Ooh, don't you love a transformation? How have these transformations been working out for us lately? The bill will dramatically remake parts of the U.S. economy as it helps create new jobs in the green energy and carbon reduction sectors, says Robbie Orvis, a senior director of energy policy design at Energy Innovation, a nonpartisan energy and climate policy think tank. This is kind of an industrial bill masquerading as an energy and climate bill. There's just so much in the bill to bring clean energy manufacturing back to the U.S. and to grow the industry, and that is the direction the world is headed. This is going to be more massive than people realize, said Rep. Ro Khanna from California. If the government invests $300 billion in solar, wind, batteries, and heat pumps, that has the potential to unlock trillions of dollars in private sector investment in climate. Sure, Ro. Sure. But I think the best part is when Politico says that the bill adds new credibility to efforts by Biden and U.S. climate envoy John Forbes Kerry to put the U.S. at the forefront of the global efforts to fight climate change. The United States has been considered in danger of seriously lagging European efforts. Well, thanks to Trump when he pulled out of that Paris climate accords. Yeah. Yeah, we were lagging. We were, you know, the ugly Americans trying to be energy independent.
Okay,
trying to drill here instead of asking the guys at Saudi Arabia to give us their oil. That was what they're referring to as seriously lagging behind.
Okay, think tank. Now do India and China.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll get to that in a sec. It says the United States has been considered in danger of seriously lagging European efforts, even as historic droughts deplete water supplies in the West. It goes on to name other climate change events like floods. Now positions are reversed, at least in the short term, with Europe finding it difficult to live up to its hawkish rhetoric on climate change amid a Russian land war that is making the region more dependent on fossil fuel, mostly imported from the United States. Who could have seen that coming? Who could have seen it coming that some of Europe would get so crazy over the climate revolution that they would end up being dependent on fossil fuel? I remember one guy. He was, some people call him Orange Man Bad.
How dare you?
He had said this, actually. He had said this in public, on a microphone, and he was mocked and ridiculed for this exact idea. It's strange, isn't it?
4 years ago, he said this,
well,
as it turns out.
I also love the fact, Jared, that you bring up China, because I don't know if you noticed this, but Pelosi's caused quite a stir with her trip to Taiwan. And luckily, she's smoothing it over with her genius foreign policy expertise. She's really knocking it out of the park. We'll get to that amazing sound cut when we come back. But because of that, because of Pelosi's trip to Taiwan, China is no longer partaking in the green conversations with John Forbes Kerry and the United States. Now, that's a bit of a problem because China emits more greenhouse gases than the entire developed world combined. At least they did in 2021. Now, they're not going to partake in these conversations. That would make you think, oh, that's a big deal, considering they emit so much greenhouse gas. But they weren't really going along with this stuff anyway. So nothing's really going to change on that front. 844-500-4242. When we come back, Nancy Pelosi's comments. I don't want to hear CNN laughing at me ever again for not knowing any history or for not having these great geopolitical points, because Nancy Pelosi's comment will blow you out of the water. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with all of your calls. What do you think of this bill? It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Can you understand how 87,000 new IRS agents would scare the heck out of millions of Americans?
Millions of Americans aren't going to be impacted by that other than getting better service from the IRS, having their telephone answered, getting the questions they need in order to comply with our tax laws. The auditing is going to be focused on those of high income, the large corporations, etc. So there's no reason to be fearful. And if you have paid your taxes and if you comply with our laws, you should want to make sure everyone else does that.
Yeah, but is the IRS not like the FBI and the CIA where they have six ways to Sunday to get back at you if they want to? Or am I misquoting the great Chuck Schumer, who, by the way, is another expert on inflation? And he doesn't have to cite, no one has to cite any facts. They just have to say these vague things like, if you make less than $400,000, you have nothing to worry about. Why don't I believe that? Can I get a fact check on that? What information? Can you guarantee that or are you just guessing? And the truth is, they're just guessing. In fact, on CNBC, Jared Bernstein, who's been feeling good these last couple of days, you know, he's had a lot to be proud of with this sweeping historic bill. He was asked if he could guarantee that nobody making under $400,000, because that's the big number, you know, they keep citing. You're not going to get taxed if you're making under $400,000. I have a really good piece from The Federalist that's questioning that as well. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But he was asked on CNBC if no one who's making under $400,000, the magic number, would be audited with these new IRS agents. And strangely, Jared couldn't confirm that for us. This is cut 23, please.
President Biden has always maintained that no one under $400,000 will pay one penny more in taxes. So line in the sand there. Look, in terms of closing the tax gap, that's what you're talking about here, something like $80 billion for the IRS. This raises something like $200 billion over 10 years, and some people call that a conservative estimate. And remember, this is enforcing taxes owed. So this is a way to not just close tax loopholes, but to stave off tax evasion. In my strongly held view, defunding the IRS has been a long-term shadow tax cut for tax evaders, and this president will reverse that with this bill that now goes over to the House.
You know what my next question would be? Do you have any comments on Hunter Biden? Do you have any comments on the Hunter Biden investigation, Jared? Oh, cat's got your tongue. Of course, of course. I love the some people say. If you were writing like a high school paper, your teacher would say, you can't just say that. You can't just put up straw men and start citing some people. You actually have to come up with, I don't know, one study. Some people say, are these the same 17 Nobel laureates? I have a feeling they are. I am so distrustful of not just this administration, but all of these organizations. I mean, if you believe that 87,000 new IRS agents are just going to be there so that you don't have to wait on hold for too long, then you're probably the same person who's wearing two masks in your convertible. That's all I have to say on that matter. And also one other thing, I have a bridge I'd like to sell you. I have a big bridge I'd like to sell you. That's it.
These 87,000 IRS agents are only going to go after the top corporations that don't pay their money.
Their fair share, you mean?
Their fair share. The rest of the IRS that's still employed, they're the ones that are coming after you. So technically, in my, what was it, my extraordinary opinion?
In my strongly held view. P.S. I don't use that expression on this show because you can just take, if you tune in at any point in these next 3 hours, you can just take my word as a Biden that it is my strongly held view. If I'm saying it on the air, if I'm saying it in front of a microphone, it's my strongly held view from this point forward.
In my strongly held view, Eli Manning was sacked at the end of Super Bowl 42 and the Patriots should have an undefeated season. But guess what? In reality, it didn't happen.
Jared, in my strongly held view, I should be on Broadway.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of voice I have. And yet, here I am.
You are the songbird of your generation.
Here I am.
Some have called you. Some people have called you.
Some people have said that I am the best singer of all time. And I don't need to tell you who those people are. I have a microphone in front of me and you can just believe me. You can trust me.
Grace sings Sinatra at the Cigar and Ale.
Watch out, Taylor. I'm coming for your spot. Peggy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show again, as usual. You know, I had this revelation yesterday and you kind of just said it. I woke up and I said, was half listening to the TV, and I said to my husband, I will never trust the United States government again for the rest of my life. And I they're just such incredible crooks.
Yeah.
All of them. Like, no, does anybody have a poor relation or a poor relative or a poor brother or sister that's, you know, barely making ends meet that they might say, like, you know, this probably isn't such a good idea for cousin Tony, you know. We might want to rethink. They don't care. I don't even know what the end game is for them. It's like power, control. You know,
I think it's
crazy.
I think it's both of those things, Peggy, and I will tell you that cousin Tony doesn't have to worry because cousin Tony is going to be the chancellor of solar panel initiatives for the United States of America in just a couple of months. Cousin Tony, this is a cottage industry. Cousin Tony's going to be able to get a new gig. His kids are going to get a new gig. And, you know, cousin Annette, who's working in the contact tracing unit that's going to be defunct soon because the don't test, don't tell rule now applies, she can also move over into the tax incentives for electric vehicles. And if that doesn't work out for her, guess where she can go? The IRS. And it's all a small world, Peggy. It's all a nationwide search. Thank you for the call. John, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. John and Keene. The you don't have to worry if you don't break the law point that they keep making reminds me of the no-knock search warrants that said, you don't have to worry if you're not a drug dealer. They're not going to kick your door in the middle of the night because they're never going to go to the wrong address. You know, if you're not trying to flush your heroin down the toilet,
right,
don't worry. It'll never happen to you. And then in the middle of the night, they got the wrong address, and a gunfight broke out, and the homeowner was killed. But don't worry.
Yeah, and you know what, John? I'm glad you brought this up, because I had kind of mentioned this earlier, but I'd like to flesh it out a little bit more, because I remember after 9/11, and I was young. I was really young. But I remember seeing some of the arguments that were going on years later, and how there were certain conservatives and even certain Democrats who were very opposed to the idea of being able to tap into people's phones and, you know, these FISA warrants and being able to look into people's information if you thought they were a danger to the United States of America. And as a little kid, I thought, well, why does it matter if we're going to, as long as it's going to stop the terrorists? I remember thinking that as a little kid. If you're going to stop the bad guys, then who cares? I mean, they're not listening to my mom talk to, you know, to my aunt about whatever, the soccer schedule or shampoo or whatever. That's not what they're interested in. But as you get older and you see what I always refer to as the slippery slope, you see how things can go quickly in a different direction. You see how when you lose certain freedoms or when the government takes control of certain things, it can really spin out of control quickly. And how even though they say this is just reserved for this specific type of thing, that can broaden also. That can broaden. And it goes back to that old expression, you know, first they came for, you know, how does it go? It's first they came for...
First they came for the gypsies, but I wasn't a gypsy. Then
so I didn't say anything.
For the communists. I wasn't a communist. And I don't think I have the right order on this.
Right.
But it was they came for this group, but I didn't say anything because I wasn't in that group. And then they came for this group, and I didn't say anything because I wasn't in that group. And then they came for me, and there was nobody left to speak.
But it's the truest thing, because you always sit back and you say, well, I have nothing to worry about. That's not going to affect me. And then 5 years later, you're like, wait, they were wiretapping the president of the United States? Well, wait, the billionaire real estate tycoon who became president? They're wiretapping him? They're listening in on his phone calls? Oh, well, what are they going to do to me? And it's always baffling to me that people don't think that far ahead, because I learned that pretty young. And I think it's just, it's important to remember that these agencies have failed us time and time again. And history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, and it's rhyming right now. You should be paying attention. It's not like you have to go back 50 years. You just have to go back to the Obama administration. You know, it's not that far back.
Yeah, there's no way the vice president or the guy who completely weaponized the IRS to take out his opponents is going to completely weaponize and restock the IRS to take out his opponents. That would never happen.
That's absurd. They're both tweeting at each other, by the way, about the Affordable Care Act, which was also hilarious. Barack and Joe.
Oh, God. Tweedledum and Tweedledummer.
Not that Joe is actually the one tweeting. It's probably Ron Klain. Ron Klain's probably switching between accounts all night long. You know how you can do that on your phone?
Yep.
He's like, gotta go back to being, oh wait, am I being Biden or am I being Ron? Oh, either way, I'm gonna retweet Jennifer Rubin. That's for damn sure.
What's a dwigget?
I have the funniest tweet, though, that I have to, and I see people getting on the lines now. It's 844-500-4242. Howie and I got a huge laugh over this tweet. So Ron Klain, he tweets his way out of every single situation. Inflation's rough. Gas prices are high. Joe Biden's approval rating's in the toilet. Doesn't matter. Ron Klain is just tweet, 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 tweet. And he's going to, it's like his pacifier. He just tweet, tweet, tweet. Him and Trump have a lot in common in that sense. Well, Robert Shrum, blue check mark, tweeted out, Biden, because again, they're all, you know, get the confetti, get the parade set up. Joe Biden's having a great week, everybody. Robert Shrum tweets out, Biden is the most legislatively successful president since LBJ. And Stephen Miller, I know I quote him a lot, but he deserves it on this one. He responds back to Robert Shrum and says, how'd that work out for LBJ? I mean, again, I'm not saying that I have this amazing grasp of history, okay? I don't have the geopolitical knowledge of, let's say, Nancy Pelosi. And I don't have the economic expertise of, let's say, Paul Krugman. But some of this stuff, a quick Google search could figure out for you. Jimmy, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, Grace, what you were talking about with the IRS, I think the great Ronald Reagan said it best, right? I'm from the government and I'm here to help, the nine words that you don't want to hear in life.
The nine scariest words in the English language.
That's it, exactly. And I think no truer words were ever spoken. And the other part, you were just talking about, I believe, with Homeland Security and the FISA courts and all that. And, you know, at the time, I worked in emergency services when all that happened in the metropolitan area, and I thought it was a step in the right direction. But, you know, with the hindsight being what it is and looking at it with a clearer vision, I don't think it was such a good idea, you know, with all these FISA courts and even with Homeland Security. You know, we went through two world wars and we won the Cold War with the infrastructure that we had. And I think we all wanted it, but at the time, I don't think it was the right move. That was another case where we didn't need more government, as it turns out.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
And you know what, Jimmy? I love that you say in hindsight, because I don't think any of us knew how swampy everything was. It kind of goes back to what Trump was able to expose. By breaking these people and by putting them really in the spotlight of this, he's exposed how deep the swamp is. And I had no idea. I'd be curious if you asked Howie if he knew how deep it was. He might say yes. He might say he knew. But I don't think he knew. I don't think anybody knew until Trump really came in there just how crooked and corrupt these people are.
Yeah, everybody had a certain level of comfort with how corrupt these people were. And it's like, okay, yeah, they're corrupt, it's swampy. But we had no idea how deep it went, how evil it is, and how much they want to control everything and just take all your money and give it to themselves and force you to eat bugs and all that stuff. Like,
I knew you were going to get back to the bug thing. We will be talking about that later today, because there's a really good piece in Powerline about the coming war on agriculture. And I don't think you're going to be happy about it, Jared.
And I don't think any of it.
I don't think I'll be happy about it. And here's why. Last week I was really thinking about this. And I said to my husband, I said, so Sunday night we had steak. Monday night we took the night off. I think we had a salad or something. Tuesday night we had ribs. Wednesday night we had another steak. Thursday night I went to a restaurant. I had prime rib. I'm not cut out for this bean burger bug world. I'm 90% red meat right now. And we'll discuss. We'll get into that as well. And we still have to play the Nancy Pelosi cut. I have not forgotten. Stay right there in the lines. We're going to go right back to the calls. It looks like history is repeating itself. Today, Biden's economy is mirroring that of Jimmy Carter. The parallels are uncanny. Under Carter, both the stock market and the dollar lost more than half their value. The price of oil quadrupled, the economy tanked, and inflation ran rampant. Those who owned precious metals in the 1970s saw the value of gold rise over 1,300%. The big difference between Carter and Biden, and there were a few, was that Carter wasn't trying to legislate the taxing of retirement accounts, merging them with Social Security, or replacing the dollar bill with digital money, as Democrats are attempting to do today. What we are seeing is a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold as high as $5,000. A network analyst predicts $15,000 in 3 years. So Monetary Gold is top rated with the BBB for 22 years. And my listeners who open a qualified account will now receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. So call 888-617-7994 and ask for their free guide. Again, that's 888-617-7994. Or visit them at monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you could be the next one. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What are you more excited about? 87,000 new IRS agents or energy and climate reform?
Is neither an option. I'll say energy and climate reform.
Energy and climate reform only at 25%. 75% of the audience is super excited about the new IRS.
I'm sure they are. You won't have to wait on hold much longer. Adam, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. I just think that the Democrats have just committed seppuku with this 87,000 IRS agents. I mean, there's nobody in America that likes taxes, and we're getting taxed more and more and more. I think the Democrats have just done themselves in. I really think that's what's going to be happening, and I don't think they even know it. I think they just think, oh, we passed this what Inflation Reduction, whatever act it is. It's just BS, more BS, and I think Americans are getting tired of it, and I think they're going to vote like crazy to get the Democrats out of everything.
Yeah, and a lot of this stuff is supposedly tackling things. That's another word I see a lot nowadays. It's tackling climate change. This is from NPR. More than $300 billion would be invested in energy and climate reform. So they say more than $300 billion. I've been reading $369 billion. Don't you think that warrants just writing the extra $69 billion to me seems important. Are we this casual with billions now where we say more than $300 billion and then you say, how much more? Well, it's $369. Oh, well, the 69 would actually be kind of important to me.
Yeah, that's like being 69 years old and saying, I'm somewhere around 60.
Yeah, I'm older than 60.
Older than 60.
Just tell us your age, bro. 70. Steve, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Quick thing. Back in the 90s, I went through a heavy audit, and it put me to college pretty quick. But you got to remember, all this money that the government gave out to keep us going through this pandemic, they want it back. So they're coming back after it, and they're to blame. It's amazing. You know what I mean? Our tax returns are right on, and what are they after? They're just putting more pressure on the middle class and the lower class, and it's going to get really ugly, especially when the cold weather comes. I just think they're going after a witch hunt.
Yeah, and you know, they keep saying it's not going to affect people who make less than $400,000, and we all know you don't have to be Paul Krugman to know that's a load of BS. And there's a really interesting piece in The Federalist that Biden is about to break his promise not to raise taxes on most Americans. We'll talk about taxes, we'll talk about this bill, we'll talk about the IRS, and I will play the Nancy Pelosi cut that you've all just been dying to hear. It's the tease to end all teases. Don't go anywhere. Be right back with more. It's Monday. It's the Grace Curley Show.